Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It concludes in a city, the city of God, with a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Okay? So we know the beginning, we know the end. We are somewhere in between. And this morning, I want to ask you, what is your role to play in this great drama, in this great God story? Okay, what is your role to play? What is my role to play? And I'll tell you what our roles are to play. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, yeah, you said, yes, I'm a sinner, I can do nothing to save myself, yeah? And if you have believed in what Jesus has done, that He is the only God, there's no other, who has died on the cross for the sins of the world, and you've trusted in Him, you've believed in Him, then a miracle has taken place. You have become a new creation. All your sins have been forgiven, taken away on the cross. And you are part of that great multitude that is one day going to gather in heaven. But before we get to heaven, we're here on earth and we have a job to do. Your job right now is this. It's to make disciples of all nations. That was Jesus' mandate to us. And so this morning we're going to look at this. You know, how do we go about fulfilling this great mandate? Now, a couple of weeks ago, I went to South Africa to be with Steve Oliver, who leads us as a group of churches called Regions Beyond. Okay, everybody turn to somebody and say, Regions Beyond. Regions Beyond. All right? So Word of Grace is not on its own. We are part of a family of probably 100 churches across 5 continents and part of Regions Beyond. And so a couple of weeks ago, 3 of us from India went to be in Clarence for a week with 22 other leaders from across the world, just 22 people. So it was more of a retreat than a conference. And the aim of that time together was to build friendships, okay, to get to know one another, to spend time in prayer, in worship, in the Word. We studied a book and to see the context, visit a few churches. But really what Steve has been trying to do is to impart something of what he has to us. And the way I look at it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, which says, "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere and in every church." So this was the Apostle Paul writing and saying, listen, there is something that I teach everywhere and in every church. There's a way of doing ministry. I can't come to you, but I'm going to send Timothy to you. All right? And Timothy will represent what Paul is doing. And in the same way, Steve gathered us together, imparted something to us so that we can come back to our local churches and share a way of doing ministry that's unique to Regions Beyond. And so the title of this message is Leadership Redefined, a few things I've learned in Regions Beyond. Now, some of us who attended the conference, the Indian Leaders Conference a week ago at YMCA, you've heard parts of this message before. Okay, so there are about 10 things, but we won't have time this Sunday for 10 things. But we'll look at a few of them this morning. Shall we just pray? Lord, we thank you so much that you have saved us and brought us into your glorious kingdom. Not only that, but you've given us a mission and a commission to reach the nations of the world. Lord, I pray that this morning as I share from your word, your grace and your anointing would be upon me as I proclaim these truths, and be upon each one of us to receive them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what are these distinctives as a family of churches? The first one is this. The presence of God. Okay, the first distinctive is that we want to be a people who are filled with God's presence. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 15, Moses is having a conversation with God. And Exodus chapter 32, verse 15, he says, then Moses said to him, that's God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people from the face of the earth? Do you know, we share many things that are similar with people all around us, at work, where we live, in college, as we travel. But there's one thing that is unique to us as believers, as followers of Jesus, and that is the glory of God dwells within us. Okay? His presence is with us. And when we gather together, there's an increased manifestation of His presence. And as a people, as a company of people, we want to be people who say, listen, forget about everything else. The most important thing is God's presence needs to be there. And so when we worship, you know, we don't want to just sing songs. You know, there are sometimes people sing songs that just have nice, happy, clappy songs. But we sing, no, we want to sing songs that speak about the glory of Christ. What He accomplished on the cross. Christ and God exalting songs, you know, and that fuel and energize us as we spend time in God's presence. Part of this presence-focused attitude that we have is we want to also see the power of God. Okay, so all under presence of God is next the power of God. And really the power of God comes upon us as we have more of the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the risen Christ appeared to the disciples and said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, verse 8, is, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we want to be a people who are saying, Lord, I'm weak. I can do nothing apart from you. But when I have your Spirit upon me, I can do all things. Okay, so that's, we're seeking the presence. We want the power of God. Yeah? And we want to be a people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, the part of being seeking the presence of God is prayer. And you know, one of the things that I feel we as a church are weak in is this whole area of prayer. You know, I was in Cape Town. Gary was here last week, and they had a men's prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning. 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., the men gathered for prayer. I said, wow, this is it. They realized in the evening it's difficult to pray, you know. But morning, before work, these men made a commitment to drive to the church, off meeting place, church building, and spend 45 minutes to an hour praying together. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, it says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer, without anger or disputing. And I want to speak to the men this morning. I want to say, will you make it a priority to lead your family, to first of all, pray personally. Secondly, lead your families in prayer. And thirdly, join with the church in praying. You know, when we meet on Fridays, usually it's two men, and Austin and myself, and about six other women. And that's why I think that scripture says, I want men to lift up holy hands in prayer, because the women will do it. Okay, so may I urge the men. Now, I know some people stay further away and can't make it to NIBM, but those living in the locality, we've got to work something out where we can be people of prayer. And the fourth thing under the presence of God is we want the prophetic in our midst. Okay, we want to hear, what's God saying? How's God leading us? You know, in the early church, turn with me to Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Okay. We want to be a New Testament church. This is it. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, and all the others. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now, can you imagine? Here was this Antioch church, okay? The Bible is clear. Not only were they teachers of the word, they were prophetic men, women probably, okay? And while they were worshiping, in the context of worship, God spoke to them and said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work. And the church gladly released them. And as Barnabas and Saul were released, the gospel was taken to nation after nation and nation after nation. Okay, so we want to be a people who say, Lord, what is God saying to us today? We want to hear the prophetic, okay, and be that. So our first priority is the presence of God. Okay, let's be a people who seek the presence of God. The second thing is this. We want to have sacrificial, humble servant leadership. Okay, this is it. Let's turn to John chapter 13, verse 3 to 5. This is the time just before the Last Supper, just before Jesus is going to give his life on the cross. What is Jesus preoccupied with? Jesus, verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. You know, Jesus was secure of his identity. He was the Son of God. He knew where he came from. He knew he was returning to God. He knew everything. But that didn't stop him from doing what the slaves would do, wash the feet of his disciples. And I want to urge us to be a people who serve. Yeah? Now, we are used to serving people above us. You know, if your CEO gives you a call and says, I want this report, first of all, we are thrilled the CEO gave us a call, and then we'll work day and night to do it. You know, but if somebody who doesn't have a title or a position asks for our help, you know, are we as willing to serve them? You know? So really, the change we want to see is not just serving those who are above us, we have to serve them, but serving our peers and serving those who may also be below us in that sense, even children and others. When we went to South Africa at Pitso, at the retreat we went for, there was Steve. Okay, he's now leading 100 churches, anointed, gifted. You know what he was doing? He and his wife and his son, we were on their farm. They were serving us. At every meal, they were the last to eat. Okay? A couple of mornings where we had a cooked breakfast, they had a big barbecue thing going, frying eggs and bacon and everything for 22 hungry men. Okay? And so they were not just, he was not just preaching it, but he's modeling it. Yeah? And I want us to do the same thing. You know, this morning I just want to commend, where is she? Severin. You know, Severin, please stand up. Okay? You know, now this young lady is in her 60s, late 60s. But she comes here Sunday morning to set up these banners, to mop up the hall, and to set things up. Okay, that is sacrificial servant leadership. Can we give her a hand? Woo. You know, and so I want to urge us, I want to especially speak again to the young men and the men to say, listen, guys, you know, Jesus says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, but to give his life as a ransom for many. Whoever wants to be first must be the last and the slave and the servant of all. You know, so whenever people come to us and say, listen, I can play the guitar or the drums or the keyboard, where do I start? We say, well, you start 8:15 in the morning laying out the chairs. Okay, and that's how it is. That's the biblical model. All right? And you know, I've appreciated Severin, but there are many others as well who serve this church wonderfully. Commend them all. Okay? And you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ, and he talks about the human body as an analogy. Now tell me, do you have any parts of your body that don't function? You know, you know, all the parts of the body have been placed there and they have a function. If you have a part that doesn't function, it's either diseased, it's dead, or it's chopped off in an accident, or it's been surgically removed. Okay? As Christians, you and I are all parts of a body with a unique function. Okay? And you've got to play that part in the body. All right? And that's how it is. You've got to say, Lord, what is my gift? What can I do to serve, to function in the body? So if you've not found out your function yet, come and speak to me or some of the others and say, listen, I'm part of this body, but what's my function? You know, and we'll gladly move you along there. Yeah. Joanna was one such person. Where is she? She's with the kids there. See, that's it. You know, she's gone home. Rishi was not well. Okay. You know, Joanna came here and said, and saw that we had children, and we needed children's workers, and she'd done that before. And she said, Pastor, can we do something? Can we start it? I said, yeah, come on, let's do it. Yeah. So if there's something burning in your heart, there's something you feel you'd like to do, because God has placed something unique in your heart, we'd love to support you and see how we can get that going. But please, yeah, let's find your function and find your place in the body. Okay, we want to see many more preachers, worship leaders, musicians, evangelists, all kinds of things raised up. We need you. As you've noticed, you know, the model we follow here, it is far from a one-man ministry. There are different people involved in doing different things. And that is New Testament Christianity. It's not one person, but it's the body doing the task. And I'm just so thankful for the many people who are so gifted and who give of themselves their time, their talents, to come and serve Word of Grace. Okay, the third thing, after the presence and sacrificial leadership, is this. We want to be a multicultural, multi-generational church. Let me unpack that. What is multicultural? In Ephesians 2:15, it says this. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. Okay? At the cross, Jesus did an amazing thing. There was a barrier between Jews and Gentiles. And that barrier, that dividing wall, was broken, and now unity was possible. I don't know if you read the article in the newspaper yesterday, I think. A man went to a flour mill to get some atta. Anybody read that? Okay, I couldn't. Okay, he went. You know what atta is, everybody? Flour, yeah? So he went, wheat flour, he went to grind it. And because he went to the mill there, he was from a lower caste. Okay, he was a Dalit. An upper caste person there took offense at his coming into the flour mill and said, because you've come here during the season of Navratri, you have polluted all the flour. And you know what he did? He killed him. This is happening in India today. He took a sickle and he cut his throat out. Okay? This is the reality. You know, we may be sending satellites into space, but we are using sickles to chop off people. Okay? So this is India. Now, the only thing that can transform this nation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where the dividing wall of hostility between Dalits and upper caste and north and south and east and west and, you know, everything is broken. It's only the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Now, you and I have a role to play because we have that here, but it's got to be taken out there. Okay? That's when the nation will change. So we want to be clear. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So if you're a woman here this morning, we want to say, we honor you, yeah? You're valuable to us. We are not in favor of, what is this thing, killing the girl child? Yeah, that's a big thing in India, okay? But we're saying women are equally valuable as men, all right? And you have a role to play. You're not a secondary citizen. Yeah, you can come up here, lead worship. You can share, pray, prophetic word. You've seen, we've got women doing all these things here, okay? And this is it. So it's multi. Then we want to be multicultural as well. Yeah, I'm amazed looking here. I think there must be at least 20 or more different people groups represented here. Isn't that so? You know, probably 25. Wow, this is wonderful. You know, the two places you find this are the army and the church. Isn't that so? Army, Air Force, whatever, the Navy. That's where you have all the different people groups and in the church. But elsewhere, you know, even in India, you know, a group of Indians will stick together, either north or south or east or west or that, or on linguistic basis or whatever this thing. But we want to say in the church, we are all one. Amen. And it's so good to have brothers and sisters from out of India as well. Yeah, we're saying we are one. And Jesus has made that possible. And so the churches we want to build are multicultural. In South Africa, where we was, I was sharing the room with a guy, a lovely first name. His name was Colin Nichols. And he has left the UK, and he went to South Africa, a city called Bloemfontein, to plant a church there. Yeah? And I may have shared this last Sunday, but Bloemfontein was the place where apartheid had originated. Okay? Apartheid was the philosophy of segregating people on the basis of their race. Whites, coloreds, blacks, all separate. Okay? And it had started there in Bloemfontein. And now 20 years have passed, apartheid has been abolished, but although the law, there's no segregation by law, there is still segregation in the minds. Okay, so this is a white guy, he's going there to plant a church, but they can't get a place to meet. Because if they meet in the white predominant, the areas that are predominantly white, you know, the whites say, listen, we don't want to give this hall on rent because all the other people, the blacks and the coloreds, will come there. If they have it in the townships where largely the poor folk live, you know, the whites can't get there because it's not safe and all that. But what are we trying to do? We're saying we want to plant a multicultural church. Hallelujah. Okay, and that's what we are involved in. You are involved in. I am involved in. Okay, we're going to pray for them. We want to do it. But we want to see in our nation, yeah, every barrier break down. You know, here we have Sushil and Alma who are getting married. Again, totally different backgrounds. Okay, and in a few months, we got Raki and Jeevan. Again, different backgrounds. And the church has to show forth to the world, to shine as lights and say, this is the new humanity. We are one new man in Christ. It's possible because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's what we're doing. And then, of course, part of multicultural is multi-generational. You see, the world today, if you go to get a job, and if you're above 40 years old, what happens? You're too old. Okay? And today, in education, in our country, or where jobs are concerned, the preference is given to younger people. And as you get older, they say, listen, you know, forget it. We'll get rid of you. Get a younger person. Pay them less. Do all that kind of stuff. Okay? But what we want to say is the church is multi-generational, where everyone, turn to somebody and say, everyone. Everyone has a role to play. I was blessed last week to see Sunit and Samantha are not here. Their relatives are with them and they're off sightseeing. To see Sunit and little Ralphie carrying that big banner. You know, so he's tiny, but he wanted to get involved. We see Suresh's kids, you know, rushing to pick stuff up. So everyone has a role. Whether you're 8 years old or 60, 70 years old, we have a role to play. Okay? You don't have to reach a certain age before you can do something in the church, or you've now crossed the age and you're not going to be considered. Okay, we want everybody. And again, this is so wonderfully modeled in regions beyond. You know, at the different conferences we've gone to, say at the Hub in Dubai. So we had four generations preaching. Wow. We had Ray Lowe and others who were in their 70s, going strong for the Lord. Yeah. Listen, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Okay. And going strong, health issues, but they're still going and preaching the gospel. And then you had the next generation, late 50s, Steve and the others. And then you had the 40s, you had others. And then you had the 20s. So it's four generations. And what Steve says is, listen, you know, probably the ones who had the most experience and the most this thing will be great. But we want to, you know, we want to make room for all the generations. We just don't want this generation to die and then the next generation comes. If that happens, you know what will happen? We'll be like the people in the wilderness. You remember them? They were waiting for the old generation to die before they could enter the promised land. That's what they were. Till the whole generation died, then they could enter the promised land. Yeah. Can you imagine if there were the just last two or three left? What these million people are looking at them. Yeah. But that's not how it is now. Everyone has a role to play. Okay? So that's what it is. Multicultural, multigenerational, a new community, a new humanity made possible because of the blood of Jesus. Okay, so I've just shared three with us. We'll catch up on the others at a later date. But I want to encourage you to embrace these values, the presence of God. Okay? See, that's the most important thing. Even as you've spent time in God's presence, may the glory of the Lord shine through you. I was praying with Tony this morning, and one of the things he shared was, he said, you know, one of the things that blessed me is some colleague of his that just traveled and moved to this office here in Pune, and Tony's had a busy week, but he came to Tony's office and he says, you know what, there's so much peace here. I tell you, people will recognize the presence of God in your life. They don't know how to put it into words. They'll say, there's some positive energy around you. Okay? They'll say that. They'll see it on your face. And that's the truth. We need to know that. We will shine like lights. Okay? Let's be servants. That's a key thing. If you want to be first, you've got to be the servant of all. Okay? If you don't know what your function is, come and see me, see the others and say, hey, what's my function? I want to be part of the body of Christ. I want to serve. What can I do? Okay? And finally, multi-generational, multicultural. Can we make sure that this morning we are meeting people who are different from us? You know, we've got guests who've come from different places. There are many children around. Okay? Let's value them as well. Remember Jesus' promise? He says, whoever receives a little child receives me. Wow. Okay? There may be older people here. Okay? Let's receive them as well. Okay? There may be people from a poorer economic background. Let's receive them as well. Let's truly reflect the new humanity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you died on the cross to make all this possible for us, Lord. A new humanity, where we are one in Christ. Every division broken. Lord, you model servanthood for us, Lord. You wash the feet of your disciples. Lord, I thank you that your presence is with us, Lord. Would you continue to be with us as we fellowship, as we have some cold drink together, and as we share lives and make new friends. May your blessing, may your presence, may your protection be upon us and our families. Lord, would you make your face shine upon us, Lord. May your presence go with us and grant us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Next week, I want to encourage us, can we be here before 10 o'clock? Okay, we started a little late today because there was hardly anybody here at 10 o'clock. Okay, so can I urge you, 10 o'clock, amen? Let's enjoy fellowship with one another. God bless you and have a blessed week.